Bruchim Aboyim to the fourth in the continuing series of Shiurim on the thought of Harav Avol Mitzchak HaKohen Kuk, Zecher Tzadok Livracha. Last time we left off with the basis of Rav Kook's thinking, which we located in the Kabbalah of the Leshen, and namely the fact that Rav Kook understood that the physical world has to be understood independent of the Or Ein Sof, the infinite spiritual light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as is usually assumed by the Mekubalim who understand the Tzimtzum Delo Kipshutai. And in fact, in this sense, the Rav Kook was following the sheet of the Leshem, who learned, makes it very, very clear in the Chiddushim of Be'urim, that the Tzimtzum is to be understood Kipshutai, and this he understands as a very important premise in the Kabbalah Sagra, as those of you might have seen in the Asura Kolom of the Gor, which was a series of shiurim I gave several years ago. In any case, Rav Kook emphasizes the fact that the Or HaElyon, the higher light, this is the language of Rav Kook, which is the Machshav Elyona, the higher apprehension of the divine, should not come to interfere with our understanding and our connection with divinity, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu within the physical world. And the question that we raised at the end of last week's shiur was namely, if in fact Rav Kook is to understand the physical world independent of the Or Ein Sof, of the Or HaElyon, so in fact, what is the process by which man rectifies the physical world? What values it to the physical world? If we understand that the Or Ein Sof penetrates and permeates the physical world, therefore, as the Baal HaTanya and many Baalei Machshav understand, that man merely strips the physical world of its outer physical garment, its klipa, and reveals its essence as being the Or Ein Sof. But in fact, actually, if we do not understand the physical world as being permeated by the Or Ein Sof, so in fact, in what way can man actually rectify the physical worlds? And as we will see in Mitzvah Shem and Rav Kook, rectifying the physical worlds and raising the physical worlds is in fact a very, very important yesoid. It's a premise and thesis in the purpose of creation. This, as we mentioned last time, is a very, very important, the Kabbalah of the Ramchal. The Ramchal understood that the purpose of man is not only to rectify, to mesaken, what's called the Atzilus, the spiritual world, where Eva Gameo Chad behind it, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at one with his creation, but actually the purpose of man is also to rectify the physical worlds, the worlds of Pirud, where ostensibly physicality is disconnected or disjoined from that of spirituality, what the Mekubalim denote to be the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. And the Ramchal, as we spoke about last week and the week before, understands that the process of ascension, of rectification, which culminates in what's called Gilui Yehudai, in revelation of God's unity, first begins with the process by which Ra, evil in the physical world, is transferred, is rectified into good, into Toiv, and then after that there's a process by which there is a spiritual ascension in the higher worlds. The question is, how does Rav Kook understand the process of rectification, spiritual rectification in the physical worlds? But I think the more basic question in Rav Kook itself is, how does Rav Kook understand what's called the Machshava HaTachtoina, lower the apprehension of the divine? What is this? Rav Kook speaks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself, B'toch HaChayim, within physical and natural life. Now, in order to understand this, I want to turn to actually two pieces in this notebook of Rav Kook. I guess it's called Pinkas Adapim, which I guess is called a notebook, which we're focusing on in these lectures, which is from Yafo, from Tafresh Sabak Dalet to Tafresh Ayin Dalet. And I'm referring to two pieces, which are number 25 and number 26. And in these two pieces, Rav Kook actually presents to us how he understands the physical world, the natural world, and we speak of the natural world in the full sense of the word, and man's connection to it and the relationship of the two to, in fact, man's apprehension of divinity. Now, what I think I'm going to do is I'm first going to go to, I think, the 26, because 26 is shorter, and then after that I'll go to 25. But really, 25 and 26 are actually expressed almost the same idea. 25 begins on Daf Samach Beis and continues through Daf Samach Gimel and Samach Dalet, and number 26 appears on Daf Samach Dalet. This is the addition of the Kavatzim Mikstav Yad Kotshoi Krach Beis, which was put out by those who put out the Shemona Kavatzim. Okay, so let me first read 26. And then after that, we'll go to 25. And from that, we'll try to get an understanding of how Rav Kook understands man's relationship with the physical and natural world. And then after that, we're going to, to your surprise or astonishment, we're going to see actually the basis of Rav Kook's thought actually in the Lesha once again. Okay, now, number 26, Rav Kook writes, Olam HaAsiya, that means Olam HaAsiya refers to the physical world. It's the three worlds of what's called physicality, which are Bria, Tzia, and Asiya. So Olam HaAsiya actually refers to the physical world, which presents itself to us, our physical world. Olam HaAsiya. V'kol ha-koichas ha-sholtem b'kilboy, and all the forces which operate within our physical world, holchem v'zomim, are continuously movement, and constant movement, constant motion. There's a continual process, I should say. Zomim b'kilbo p'nimim min ha-katzal ha-kocha b'rav koyach. And these forces flow and operate from one end to the other with tremendous power. Hamagama inana mitzuya b'soichai. If we look at the physical world and we look at the forces which operate in the physical world, we don't see an actual purpose within the physical world. There's no purpose. Kimoylechu poil lefi tivoy, because there's a process, a natural process which operates by itself. And this is an interesting point of view, which is actually definitively the point of view of most scientists. Look at nature, understand that there are natural forces and natural laws which are at work, which have no overall purpose. There's an inner will of nature. This is very, very interesting because this is similar to a concept which Rabbi Soloveitchik in the Emergence of Ethical Man called vitalism. There seems to be an inner will within the forces of nature, especially within biological forces. We saw that, in fact, actually, this concept of vitalism, where Soloveitchik made the connection with the philosophy of Bergson, who understood that the physical world and actually, in fact, the process of evolution is a creative process. Leman chaya va'atzbiyim. In other words, nature, in fact, there's a continual process of nature, which, in fact, which fortifies and strengthens nature and operates for the sake of nature. Hakoiches kulam holchem v'shavim. Rav Kook speaks about the forces go and come. Miskanzim b'makazim shem misalim sham. In fact, they ascend. They concentrate in specific places and they ascend. This seems to be a type of an evolutionary process which Rav Kook is referring to. Achem boim ela adam, until they come to man. V'koyin lo b'kilbo esachoyfesh. So it's interesting, when the force comes to man, they give rise to what's called man's freedom. They come to man, and man ascends, or there's an ascension of man within nature, or nature ascends within man, to give man his hegemony over the world, make use of his intellect. So Rav Kook understands that there's a natural process which begins with the basic forces and elements of nature and comes to a climax in man, who in turn exercises through his intellect his hegemony over the natural world. There's an infinite number of worlds and forces which in fact actually gather within man. Now, and it goes on to say, "Bis'alus ha'odem ba'itzah ha'kolas imoy," and when man ascends, right, as a result of this concentration and treasury of forces within him, "Noisin hu haskala v'shultim b'chol oitzah chayim," so man gives thought and intellect in all aspects of life. "B'chol ha'olam mis'ala imoy," an entire world which ascends with them. So it seems to me that this really Rav Kook is referring to, in a certain sense, is technology and science. That, in other words, technology, science, man's not only his apprehension and study of nature, but his usage of nature in technology, which is something, by the way, the Rav Kook speaks about at length in his work Orot in Chelek Beis. I forget the exact page number. This is actually part of this process, which begins with the forces of nature. The forces of nature in and of themselves appear to be blind, but in fact man harnesses these forces and ascends through the use of his intellect in harnessing these forces to bring about advancements both in science and technology. That's how I understand Rav Kook. And then Rav Kook used the lashon of his halus ha'odom. His halus ha'odom refers to an ascent of man, and this his halus ha'odom is actually a term which appears very much in the Ramchal. The Ramchal, the process of tikkun, of rectification, of yichudai, in the physical world, is also a concept of his alus, of ascent. B'chusu adayin koyach iloi zeh, mibnei shaba'at hu ha-shultan ha-tavuni shezochol adayin ha-odem b'chalusai. Of course, the secret, the power of this iloi, of this ascent, is still hidden from man, because man still it does not have the proper intellect to understand it fully. Right? But as in fact man ascends more, when man's ascent is completed, he will see not only his hegemony over all the parts of the world, there's going to be a spiritual, an intellectual, an intellectual and a ethical progress in a sense, which brings man to his ethical and intellectual purpose. Right? In other words, man, when man looks and understands all the aspects of the physical world and is able to exercise his hegemony over all aspects of the physical world, that in turn there's going to be an intellectual and ethical ascent of man, and this is going to bring man to the his purpose, to his tachlis, bagamosis. We apply ourselves to this avoida, to this this task, right? Below herif, right? Without any rest. This is Rav Kook. So in other words, it's very interesting because Rav Kook understands that there's a hisalus of the world, right, from the scientific nature of natural law and man's understanding of the scientific nature. And through this, man, in fact, rises intellectually and ethically. And this brings about the, he calls the proper rectification, both of man, the world, and of course the spiritual purpose of creation. This is Rav Kook in number 26. Now, in number 25, actually, Rav Kook expresses very, very similar ideas, except he expresses them in greater detail. If I begin reading on number 12, Rav Kook brings a very interesting statement. It's on Daf Samach Beis. Once again, I'm on Daf Samach Beis in the Pikas Adapim. Actually, Daf Samach Beis appears in the Pikas Adapim, in number 25. And Rav Kook begins with a very rather few cryptic statements, which he actually make similar remarks in other places of the Shemona Kevatzim. Says Rav Kook, "Becheskas hayad tzricha ana lahasir sayira chitzoynis." With strength, right? We have to remove this yira hachitzoynis, this outer fear, hamatelas emosa ala seichel, which terrorizes the intellect, shalola leches bechavsho, not to pursue its freedom. Very interesting. Rav Kook says there's an exterior fear which threatens or threatens the intellect not to think freely. Zois ha'yira oiseres es ragli ha'neshama ba'azik. And this fear, in fact, ties the legs of the neshama, a man's soul ba'azik, with chains. In other words, people are afraid to think original thoughts, says Rav Kook. And says Rav Kook, we have to take away this outer fear, right? That everything we think always has to be with the agreement and the acknowledgement of what other people think. Very interesting statement of Rav Kook, how it's related to this. I have a hunch what's related to this, but I'm not going to speak about it right now. Because the way people think, they always think with ideas from previous generations. Told shall demyonis chalushois, and these are come from basically weak apparitions. And in other words, when people think, usually they base themselves on false premises and lies. And that's what Cook is saying. Very interesting.
Is the first part not saying that people feel limited by their rational thought?
No, I don't think it's speaking about rational thought. No, it says Shalcha Anoshi means no.
That's saying previous.
So that's
thoughts.
Right. That's what I want to say. Shalcha Anoshi means no popular thought. I don't say that's popular thought. Kineshara Namril Shmei Shemayim says of Cook, like eagles, we will soar to the heavens. Nakif olamei od, we will go to the eternal worlds. Nitzayer tachayim apnimiyim shal moli olamim v'yashiluvim berosh atzoyf, and we're going to depict the internal life, right, from the beginning to the end. Now, of course, chayim apnimiyim, right, hachofshiyus shebemitzias. What I think Rav Kook is saying is that we have to look at the world in new, different ways. We can't look at the world in ways that people looked at in previous generations. I think Rav Kook is actually thinking about new ways in which we look at the physical world. Chayim apnimiyim is a term that Rav Kook used to understand this, understanding of Kadosh Baruch Hu, understanding the Creator from within the physical world. So Rav Kook says sometimes we have to look at the world in new ways. And we cannot be limited by approbations of people who seek to limit the way we think and base themselves on premises which are no longer relevant or valid. That's what Rav Kook is saying. Okay, Hamevin Yovin. Hachovshiyus shebemetzias vakeshes atav lasakim kol hakoyches al magam el yoina. Right? So therefore, the chovshiyus shebemetzias, there's a certain freedom within the physical world that tries to bring all the forces of nature to its final, its final purpose. Yigala fadeno b'chol gilo yinushachas atzbidim b'chli adim yoyin haroya le'nayim rakechrech. In other words, if you look at the world and look at it purely deterministically, then in fact, actually, we're going to be limited. But we have to actually look within the physical world and see a certain freedom, a certain creative aspect and dimension to the physical world. Right? I think, once again, this is a type of a Bergsonian concept of a type of a creativity of physical process. It's rather interesting in that, in his introduction by David Cohen, who was the Nazir, so he remarks there that a certain professor visited Rav Kook, I think I might have mentioned it in the first Shia, who noted to Rav Kook that his philosophy bears much similarity to the philosophy of Bergson. So Cook says that, you know, of course he's interested in spiritual things, not interested in a scientific point of view. But I think over here...
Wait, Rav Kook denied that he knew Bergson?
I think Rav Kook didn't deny he knew Bergson, but I think he wanted to say that science merely limits itself to the physical and doesn't try to understand any type of spiritual dimension. That's what Rav Kook said. From which I understand from that, amoide b'miktsas, that's in my opinion, that in fact there's a interesting affinity with the Bergsonian philosophy of a type of creative evolutionary process in the physical world, which, in my opinion, Rav Kook is now describing, in your humble servant's opinion. Okay? Herchishu Mesudu Magila Tivgiduhu Elite Choyfish Gomor. In other words, physical processes, which are deterministic, really are begotten from a certain freedom. In other words, just as the world was created with freedom, Bina Yeshviayim is the penultimate expression of God's freedom, so too, what appears to us to be deterministic processes are really rooted in an act of free will, that means the free will of the Yevishtha, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and will ultimately, right, reach a tachlis, a purpose, which is also what's called absolute freedom, which Rav Kook says, HaKhoifesh HaMuchlat, Sheneinu Tzorech Kol Kevul B'Bnei Shu Mesroimim Ya'at B'Legovei HaChayim. And because of that, this purpose, which is a absolute freedom, right, will not require any type of kavalim, any type of change, because actually it itself will ascend by itself to the highest levels of chayim. Chayim is always means the divinity, which is imminent and expressed within the physical world. So in other words, since the purpose of nature, even though it appears to be deterministic, the purpose of nature is to reach an ultimate level, which is that of freedom, of chayfesh. So therefore, it finds within man the means through which it achieves an ultimate goal. Now, of course, just like man is influenced by everything, so man influences everything. And here Rav Kook says, HaKoichas ha'itonim u'poilim b'teva, the strong forces would act within nature, oisimis b'shtarim b'kol, they govern all the natural processes, boim ba'odim v'shamis alin l'morim chofsha. Once again, they enter to man, and through man's acts and expressions of freedom and free will, man brings these forces of nature to their final tachlis, to their final goal. Hashoshelas buchachas hila lechas rotzei v'shoi v'akshiyedah adam b'choyv shel svoimim el matras ha'choyfes ha'metamim es bulos koykas ha'tevi b'oif en yoysa moli shiklo b'ashayim b'matzav ha'shibud b'tem shechodu eilav. So therefore, the purpose of man is to take these forces of nature and to harness them and to bring them to a level of free will by exercising his own free will. And says Rav Kook, that Simoin Habori Shel Makor HaChayim Shel Hashova BeLakus BeMakor HaRotzei LaChov Shemolei Kol. So therefore, through this, all the physical forces of the world are brought to this thirst for the Makor HaChayim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the source of all life. UKefimis HaChayfetz, in accordance with this desire, Kfiribay Hadroches HaMaisem Magalas Yisoy Ken Tagdil HaGadiyah Noishis Al Kol HaMetzius. Tzadik Moshe Yiras Elokim. So therefore, man will rule and will exercise his hegemony over the entire world. And Rav Kook goes on the next paragraph and says that man Yashlim Bav Yotzoi will perfect and complete. Hoylech Bahalach Hashiklus Tochlis Zomi Achayim HaNerogim Masechas Ernogis. In other words, all the forces of life, man comes to, in fact, unite them. Val Shichlulam Yishtachlo Gam. So man comes to unite all the forces of nature, and through that, and therefore, man reveals all these forces which unite all of nature, and therefore, by man concentrating all these forces of nature, then there's also a revelation of chayim, of the apprehension of the divine within the physical world. Okay, now, I think that these two paragraphs in Rav Kook summarize that man, in a certain sense, is the arbiter of the union of all the forces of nature to bring them to their ultimate goal, which is the expression of freedom, which is the means by which man himself ascends, right, to this highest level, to his tachlis, to his purpose of creation. So in other words, man, right, through his intellect, in fact, understands, unites, and connects all the aspects of nature by doing so. That's what Cook says in 25. Then, as he says in 26, he brings the world to its final conclusion, to its tachlis, and man, by virtue of this, also ascends intellectually and ethically to the tachlis, the purpose of man, which is, of course, ultimately his connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his connection with the Ebeshim, with the Creator of the world. Now, this picture of man using his intellect and understanding the inner forces of nature, which give rise to man himself, and therefore by that very fact, transforming man, both intellectually and ethically, this in fact, in my opinion, is very, very much rooted in the words of the Leshem. And the words of Leshem are to be found in a sefer which is called the Sefer HaKlolin. This is a sefer which is not very well known in the Leshem, the Sefer HaKlolin. I don't even know.
It's on Hebrew books.
It's on Hebrew books? Okay, very, very good. So in the Sefer HaKlolin, I guess in the first chelek of the Sefer HaKlolin, on right, a page is Daf Samech Hei, and I would have to say, from four Amudim, it's Samech Hei Amud Gimel, and I think that it's called Klali Ispashtus Vistalkus, Klal Tesvav, Onof Yud Aleph. So it's Klal Tesvav, in other words, Klale His Pashtos Vistalkus, Klal Tesvav, Anaf Yud Aleph. And it appears on Daf Samech Hei Amud Gimel, in the Sefer Klalim of the Leshem. Now, the Leshem, what the Leshem does over here, is the Leshem poses a stira, a contradiction between philosophy, the philosophy of the Rambam, and between Chazal, right? As Rav Aryeh Levine mentions in his introduction to the Chiddushei Be'urim of the Leshem not only after he covered the Bavli Rushalmi, the Shulchan Aruch, Kalatega Kula, they learned the philosophy of the Mechka of the Rishonim, which means the Leshem learned the rational philosophy of the Rishonim, and then learned, of course, the Ari, the Zaya, etc., etc. So, there's a famous dispute between the Rambam and the Avodas Halev, the Sefer Avodas Halev of Ibn Gabai. Does the world have a purpose? So the Rambam, interestingly enough, says, in, I think it's chapter 13 of section 3, the Rambam, interestingly enough, says that there's no purpose to the world. You can't say the world was created for anything, for any purpose. That's what the Rambam says. I know you're a little shocked, but the Rambam says that.
He says that we can't ask the question of whether there's a purpose.
The Rambam says, okay, because the Rambam says, even say that the purpose of the creating the world was for man. Mm-hmm. So then you can go on and ask the question, so what was the purpose of creating man?
Right.
In other words, so therefore, basically, one cannot actually locate a purpose of creation. Which, of course,
not the same as saying there is no purpose. We can't understand
it. Okay. If I said like that, I have been corrected. In other words, it's impossible for us to formulate a purpose for the creation of the world. That's what the Rambam says. And, of course, the Avodas Halev jumps on the Rambam and attacks him. How can you say this? Chas v'shalom, we know the purpose of creation is for man. And, of course, what the Rambam says, smacks of what's called philosophy, etc., etc. But really, the real answer is that the Rambam and the Ibn Gabai are not even speaking with each other. They're not even commensurable. Because when we speak about the tachlis, the purpose of creation, like the Ari speaks about, and everyone who follows the Ramchal, they're speaking about, of course, Bitzideinu. As the Leshem himself explains to the Ari, in the first Chakira of the Ari, the Yetzchayim, the Ari says, what's the purpose of creation? The purpose of creation is for the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his midos, but if there isn't a creation, you cannot call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachum Lechadud in the fullest sense, because there isn't a creation for which he can exercise these midos. So, blessings is what he's talking about. In other words, this is all, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs the creation to complete himself. So the Leshem explains the Ari, and I think rightfully so, in my humble opinion, is that Ari is speaking about Mitzideinu, from our point of view. In other words, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's point of view, of course you can't speak about the purpose of creation. Speak about it, you have to be God. But if you if you speaking about Mitzidenu from our perspective, right, then of course you speak about a purpose to creation. So really, in fact, the Pashtus is simply there's no real dispute between the Avodas Halev and the Rambam. But in any case, the Leshem sides with the Rambam. The Leshem sides with the Rambam. The rest of them has an entire Arichus, elaborates on this. And the Leshem says, because, I mean, what, in other words, why should we see any part of the creation less vital or less important than the other part of the creation? If a Kadosh Baruch Hu, God created everything, why should we see any one aspect of creation, you know, more central than any other aspect of creation? Which I think really, in a certain sense, corresponds to what Rav Kook is saying in a much more modern nusach, a modern term of phraseology. That, in other words, the forces of nature operate, and it doesn't seem to be, if you look at the world scientifically, it doesn't seem to be, you know, at least a motivated purpose. They just operate by themselves. Now, goes on the Leshem says, that being said, so what do we do with an entire list of chazals from Gemara, Shas, Midrashim, Zayar, that the purpose of creation is man? So, the Leshem gives an answer to this. The answer begins on the Sabbath Vav Amud Aleph, the third paragraph, Ach Oimecha Inyan Bazeh, and I'm going to just summarize it very, very succinctly. The Leshem says that, in fact, man, through Torah, through the Ora Torah, he says mitzvahs too, but because through the Ora Torah, man somehow unites all aspects of creation. That's what the Leshem says, right? And in fact, shekol tikunim v'tachlisa mikore v'amiti t'chol ha-metzias kulo yinehu rak la'loisim l'yachtem b'o Yisrael v'chach kulim b'o ha-ter v'kenizka la'el. K'ninzika ebesu shekol kevnasoi b'chol ha-metzias kulo rak b'shvil Yisrael sheniku reishis b'shvil ha-ter sheniku reishis ki rak yadeim v'hem yizkayim. In other words, the Leshem says that through the Ora Torah, man, in fact, unites all aspects of the entire Metzius, including the physical world too. That's what the Leshem says. So in a very interesting sense, the Leshem is saying is that man is the tachlis of the creation in the sense that man unites all aspects of the world, and by uniting all aspects of the world through the Torah, he enacts all aspects of physical reality, and through uniting all physical aspects of reality, brings the world to greater levels, to higher levels. That's what the Leshem says. Now, we have here two very, very important fundamental pillars of thought, which Rav Kook shares with the Leshem. We have here, in a certain sense, a type of what Kant called, with regard to his philosophy, a Copernican revolution. Rav Kook mentioned Kant. Rav Kook mentioned Kant. According to Rav Kook, the highest level of divine apprehension, Machshava, Ha'elyon, was in fact the Kantian concept, which the Kantian concept, however we understand it, brought about what Kant himself referred to as a Copernican revolution in philosophy, in that man becomes the center of ontology and epistemology. In other words, it's through the transcendental analytic that it is man, right, who furnishes the world with its structure and its ontology. That's the structure of the way man thinks. Both, in fact, actually, intellectually, ontologically, and also ethically, too, Kant. And the fact is that this notion of the centrality of man is a very mainstay of actually the thought of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Yisrael kutcha brichu v'yisrael chadhu. But I think that we see here in Anaf Yud Aleph, in the Leshem, that the centrality of man is not that man is the tachlis, the purpose of creation. That man himself is the person who brings creation to its tachlis. In other words, the center of gravity of the process of rectification is centered in man. Whereas, for example, in the Ramchal, right, in the Sefer HaKlolim, in the Das Tvunois, and in the Klach Pischei Chochma, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu who's Madrich, who brings the world to his Tachlis. The Tachlis of the world is governed and directed from top down. Whereas in the Leshem, right, even though the purpose of the world is Gili Yechudei for man. In other words, man is a Tachlis in itself, in the sense, I know that people are going to be confused by this and someone's going to probably argue on me.
Okay.
Everybody, in other words, everybody agrees that Tachlis is the purpose of man. The question is, who is bringing the world to its Tachlis? In other words, like this. In the Ramchal, Kadosh Baruch Hu directs the world in a process which reveals to man his unity, with a capital H, Gili Yechudai. But the process is being directed by God. Man does mitzvahs, but the real process is directed by God, because whether man will succeed or fail, in any case, the world will be brought to his tachlis. That's all over the Ramchal. So even though the tachlis is the purpose of man, but man is called the spectator, or the recipient of this tachlis, of this purpose. But in the Leshem, the tachlis is directed by man. It's man who unites the world. It's man who energizes this process by which the world is brought to its purpose. Is this distinction clear? Not clear.
No, two questions. One question. Are they arguing or they're describing the reality from two different points, mitzido, mitzide?
No. Because ultimately, mitzido, you can't speak about anything. But if you
want, speaking mitzideinu,
right?
But the Ramchal also then has
there's a mitzidoy of mitzideinu. In other words,
the Ramchal has both aspects within his thought.
Right. So that's true. But in other words, but if we speak about the world, if you look at the Das Tvun, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is always being magic the world. The Ramchal is always speaking about the Kodesh Baruch Hu.
But the purpose of man is to bring spirituality into the world.
No. The Ramchal doesn't say that in Das Tvun. The Ramchal does what he does, the mitzvahs, he can energize the world, but the major process is directed from above. Kadosh Baruch Hu, through the Ein Sof, which enters into the world, Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing about that process. That's clear in the entire Das Tvunos.
But
there is an input by man, although I understand the word Bechira in the Ramchal appears, I think, one time in the entire Sefer. I don't want to get into an argument right now.
Fine.
The Iker is how I understand the Ramchal. If you look at the Ramchal, most of the Ramchal, 99% of the Ramchal, is directed on the Das Tvunos, and also the Sefer HaKlolim, is directed is how a Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing the world to perfection. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mamzira, Perskos Mamzi, the Ein Sof, which brings the world to its ultimate perfection of Gili Yechudai. Mm-hmm. Is though that man does have an input, but the input is very, very limited by man. That's how I understand it.
And the Leshem is focusing
on the right. In other words, the Leshem, the person who brings the world to its unity, to its purpose, its tachlis, is man. That's the Leshem. And Rav Kook, as a Talmud of the Leshem, is basically, in fact, saying the same thing. That even though man is the product of the forces of nature, which are rooted in freedom, in free will, nonetheless, man brings the forces of nature not only to their purpose in man, and particularly in man's free will, but man through his free will brings the entire world to its ultimate purpose, and by virtue of that, ascends himself to the ultimate purpose of free will, which, in Rav Kook's understanding, is the highest intellectual and ethical level, which is the purpose of humanity. That's how we understand how Rav Kook is following here, and rooted in the Leshem. That's principle number one. Principle number two, right, is that we see in both Rav Kook and the Leshem. I mean, the Leshem, of course, is speaking more from what he calls the Gili HaTeira, right? Which is rooted, of course, which expresses itself in Malchus Atzilus. And Rav Kook speaks about really the koiches hativiyah. I mean, of course, it's not spoken about Torah, at least explicitly over here. But what I understand is that both in Rav Kook and the Leshem understand that man's apprehension, or man's apprehension, either of Torah in the Leshem or of nature in Rav Kook, is that which enables man to unite all of the aspects of the world, of the physical world, and therefore bring about the ascent of the physical world to its ultimate tachlis goal, which actually lies in the spiritual world. So in other words, the intellect of man, in the case of the Leshem, is through the Torah. Through Torah means, I think primarily through Torah. And Rav Kook, it's through man's intellect, and I guess his free will is his ability to think creatively, and therefore to uncover the underlying unity of the natural world. That, I think, is the, in other words, this intellectual apprehension of the physical world, either via the Torah or directly, scientifically, is also a fundamental postulate and foundation of Rav Kook, and is rooted, of course, in that of the Leshem. That's how you understand these two fundamental pillars of the Leshem's thinking and also of Rav Kook's thinking, too. Of course, there, as I said before, there are differences in the manner of expression. The Leshem has spoken about the Or HaTorah. Rav Kook speaks about, really, intellect and man's understanding of nature. But the fact is that I think that just Rav Kook is referring not only to spiritual thought, and right, but also to the, I think, scientific and an understanding of, you know, science and modern technology. That's how you understand Rav Kook's thinking. Yeah,
it's not really two separate foundations. It's one. Once man is the purpose of the world, then there has to be a mechanism by which.
Okay, that's the mechanism. Right. Very good. Okay. Anyway, in any case, once again, we see the importance of the Leshem's Machshava, his Kabbalah, his Machshava and Kabbalah, right, as providing the foundation of Rav Kook's thought and thinking. And I think that this is something we're actually going to go into in much greater detail in the following series of Shiurim. We're going to see very, very beautiful and very deep things in this beautiful, you know, in the Hashkafa, the very deep apprehension, spiritual and physical apprehension of both of these two Gedolim. But in any case, we have to stop for Pesach. We have to, you know, we have to put down the Leshem of Kulis for a little while and clean for Pesach. Immediately, we'll continue after Pesach with the thought of Avraham Yitzchak Kohen Chuk, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Until then, Chag Kasher V'Sameach from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh.